Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net! Mamma mia! Lionel! Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Panterita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, here we go on Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. As always, we are presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, we got some great soccer talk here tonight. Show, as always, as mentioned, presented by DaspitLawAustin.com. Personal injury attorneys, John and his firm, get this show on the air. If you are in need of one, it's 512-865-6710, bilingual. And a big thank you to BK for doing the producing on the show. BK, how are you, and how are your Dallas Stars?
I'm doing great, and the Dallas Stars are doing great right now, Glenn. They're in the Stanley Cup Final. They're up one game to none over Tampa Bay. Game two is about to start here in a few minutes, so I'll be on pins and needles working with you tonight, but things are going well on my end. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. We got a lot of rain where I am here out of the home studio in Houston. I think that's coming Austin's way, unless you've gotten some of it already. I don't know.
Yeah, we got some yesterday afternoon, and it's been raining here all day today. So it's hitting all the state right now.
But it's nice and cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's the benefit of it. By the way, how do you think the bubble has gone? Because the bubble in Major League Soccer went exceptionally well. How is it going for the NHL in Canada?
Hockey's gone even better, right? I mean, with Major League Soccer, they had some issues, right? A couple of teams, FC Dallas, I think Nashville as well, had to leave due to a lot of positive tests. Yep. But the NHL, I believe, has had zero positive tests since they got there, players or coaches. So it's gone swimmingly.
Yeah, it has gone well. Well, those two teams came with it, and when they got there, they had it. So that's why they got sent home. But after that, it was pretty uneventful for MLS. I mean, they pulled it off down there, and now they're into their second phase of games. And I just did a TV game this weekend that actually had fans at the game. So, and we're 6 months away from Austin playing 5 to 6 months, I guess, in Major League Soccer in 2021, and it is going to blow up in Austin, Texas. I'm sure you're going to be taking in some of those games. You're going to have to.
Oh, yeah. Now, the city is excited, as you know, Glenn, and can't wait for it to get here. The first pro team coming to Austin, long overdue, but happy we're finally close.
Yeah, no kidding, BK. And tonight we are going to talk about some of the signings that Austin FC has made with Cecilio Dominguez and also Rodney Redis. Had a chance to watch their Copa Libertadores game. I'm going to talk to you about what I saw in that game. They play for Club Guarani in Paraguay in the Copa Libertadores. They'll be on again this Wednesday night. They'll be taking on Palmeiras. It's 1-2 in their group. But for anybody who has not watched the Copa Libertadores, you can catch it on BN Sports. And you can look at your future players, so it's pretty cool. Zlatan Ibrahimovic today, a pair of goals as Milan defeated Bologna 2-0 as the weekend, the Serie A started. Liverpool 2-0 over Chelsea. Sadio Mane got a brace. Thiago debuting in that. Spurs 5-2 over Southampton. How about this? Son hitting for four. All four of his goals assisted by Harry Kane. He becomes the 28th player in the Premier League's history to hit for four or more goals. And by the way, the special one has Gareth Bale on his way. Arsenal 2-1 winners. Wolves, Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin, that's his favorite team, went down today 3-1 to Manchester City. Raul Jimenez, the Mexican national team player, pulled a goal back in the 78th. It made it a game. Then it ends 3-1. So my guest on the show tonight is going to be Tom Marshall of ESPN FC, also the podcast The Mexican Soccer Show. He's at Mexico World Cup on Twitter. Tremendous coverage Tom produces. He's on top of it. So we're going to talk a number of different things. We're going to talk about Cecilio Dominguez when he played at Club America and get some of Tom's impressions. We're also going to talk about the struggles that Matias Almeida is having with the San Jose Earthquakes. Those are a couple of the topics. Mexican national team with Tata Martino. And, of course, we'll talk about the Super Clásico. Or Gio de Santos, his lone goal was a difference in that Super Clásico. And there was a lot of people very, very upset, because there were images after the game of the players smiling and laughing and joking and trading jerseys, and that did not go down well with a lot of fans in Mexico. We'll talk to Tom about that and see what the backlash is there with that. So the goal scorers for City in their 3-1 win over Wolves, De Bruyne, Foden, Gabriel Jesus. And like I said, it was countered by a Raul Jimenez goal. My understanding is that Robert Plant, who maybe has a place in Austin, my understanding is that he goes to some of the soccer bars to watch Wolves on occasion in Austin. So maybe somebody can confirm that. By the way, we're taking calls tonight on the show. Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, 512-447-3776. 512-447-3776. It's 512-447-ESPN. So if you want to get in, call us tonight throughout the show because we are live and we will take your phone calls, any of your thoughts on what's going on in the weekend. I think the other thing we point to is how many Americans are now playing in Europe, playing successfully and playing for big clubs. And we'll get to Weston McKennie. I watched his game for Juventus in the 3-0 win over Sampdoria. Got some thoughts on him, but I can only tell you right now it was a tremendous debut. Manchester United fans are not happy, and they're already talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and is he the man for the job, even though he ended up in third place and got him in the Champions League. 3-1 loss to Crystal Palace, not good. Donny van de Beek, who was one of their off-season signings, scored United's only goal. He came off the bench. Zaha with two for Crystal Palace, and Townsend with one. So I mentioned the Serie A opened up. We're going to also take a look at the historic four-goal scorers plus in the history of Premier League. That's 28 different guys. There's some names in there that are incredible when you go down this list. So I'm going to hopefully get to that list tonight. We'll also talk the new buying and selling league that is Major League Soccer. And I remind you, you will get some deals right and you will get some deals wrong. Everybody does. All right, so let's go to Weston McKennie. And again, number to call, 512-447-3776. Let's go to Weston McKennie. So, starts in midfield. He starts in a midfield three with Rabiot and Aaron Ramsey. And then to the right of that midfield, they got Cuadrado playing as a lateral and Frabotta. He plays great. He's solid. He's assured. He does not for a second look out of place, does not look nervous. And let's not forget, he was at Schalke for 4 years, so he probably shouldn't. Then again, this is Juventus. But he had a very simplified role for Andrea Pirlo. He was very useful with the ball. We all know how he can hunt the ball and break plays up. It's kind of funny because he didn't have to do too much of that because they were so dominant in possession, Juventus. But Andrea Pirlo gets his first win. It's a great start for Weston McKennie. And you just got to continue to think of the U.S. national team in the future under Greg Berhalter. And even when Berhalter got the job and everybody was upset and, oh, what's this national team? We have no identity. Well, no kidding, because it was a total changeover to young players now that have had some time now that have emerged, like McKennie, like Pulisic. Now you got to factor in Claudio Reyna's son, Gio, who's at Dortmund. You got to begin to factor in Sergiño Dest. There's just a boatload of players now that are doing some very interesting things. And you heard that from Brian Ciaretta last week, that there's also some that we don't even know about. Mark has just gone over to Facebook Soccer Matters and said, hello, Glenn. Chelsea and Manchester United need two new center backs. So if you want to go over to Facebook Soccer Matters, you can weigh in there. You can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, as well during the show. So hopefully we'll hear from some of those from Los Verdes or the Austin Anthem or some of the great Premier League fans in Austin, Texas, because we know you packed it up there when the Premier League show came to town. UT, by the way, lost their second game. So that was too bad to hear. A 9-game Big 12 season for Texas soccer. Okay, so Austin FC signings, Rodney Redis, Cecilio Dominguez. They played for Club Guarani of Paraguay in the Copa Libertadores this past Thursday. I mentioned that, against Tigre of Argentina. 4-1 winners in this game. It was 1-1 when Cecilio Dominguez came on, and he changed the game. He would draw the penalty. I would say he went down rather gingerly, in my opinion, but he would draw the penalty, and then he converted the penalty. He looked very good. But he did change the second half of this game, and he did it in a very calm, composed type of a way. He looks very good, just composed, and just the way he involves people, simplifies his passes and decision-making. Some really interesting moments here. The other thing I noticed about him, now again, this is one game, and I do remember him from Club America and Liga MX. But the other thing I noticed about him, there'll be times where he looked like a distributor, right? And then other times, if the ball went out wide and it got whipped in, I mean, he'd be flying into the box trying to get on the end of it. So I thought it was very, very interesting the way he played. I think he only played ultimately 23 minutes. Rodney Redis went 59. He looks like a good player too. Not as involved, but he looks like the guy that we heard from Josh Wolf and Claudio Reyna, guy that can run the channels. But again, Cecilio Dominguez, very skilled, calm, composed. He then set up Edgar Benitez for goal number 3 after making the penalty. But his goal would stand as the game winner. And look, when he comes to Austin, he's your designated player, and the idea is going to be to play through him and get the ball in good areas of the field. I don't think that's any question from anybody. And I would say if you have B in sports, try to watch him on Wednesday night, and that's a good game to judge him against Palmeiras. Now, if we look at Rodney Redis and we look at Cecilio Dominguez and we look at these two signings from Austin FC, it is trending the way Major League Soccer is trending with younger South American, Central American, Mexican talent. So I put a list of names together here, and this is really impressive because, you know, there were times where 11 workmanlike players could grind it out in MLS. It's not the case anymore. You have to have game changers. So I go right to Lucas Zelarayan from Argentina. 4 goals, 3 assists at Columbus. Columbus is the number one team in the league. A lot of the reason is they have an out-and-out playmaker, Lucas Zelarayan. Alan Pulido has added a lot to Sporting Kansas City. He's been coming off injury, but added a lot. Striker with a nose to the goal for the goal. Guy that can create his own chance. You know, he creates a yard and a half for himself. Hits stuff off the turn. Great link-up guy. Another great move by Sporting Kansas City from Mexico. Andreas Ricuarte, FC Dallas. I was calling a game on TV that FC Dallas was in. Hit a slashing left-footed volley. I did not see their game this weekend. He's from Colombia. He's another one, though. You know, right away makes an impact. Emmanuel Reynoso of Minnesota United. I've seen him a couple times now. Every game he keeps adapting to his teammates in Major League Soccer. He's 24 from Argentina. You got Darwin Quintero. He's an elder statesman. He's 32 years old from Colombia for Houston. He's got 5 goals and 6 assists, and he's being used wonderfully by Tab Ramos. You know, they're managing his minutes. Now, this next phase of games here now, they're going to get really congested. So, you know, much like when Albert DeLeese was at the Houston Dynamo, when, you know, somebody like this is not in the team then becomes and looks very, very different. Nicolas Lodero, Seattle from Uruguay. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, Seattle's a dominant team in the league the last couple of years. They go to MLS Cups every year, pretty much. He had 2 goals against LAFC in a 3-0 win. They're just beating down on LAFC. Brian Schmetzer saying they learned how to play against LAFC. Sebastian Blanco, out with the ACL injury. So sad to see that. And Diego Valeri in Portland, Argentines. Alvaro Medran is a Spanish midfielder. Chicago Fire, he's still kind of finding his way. He's 24 years of age. You got Nani in Orlando. Okay, he's an elder statesman from Portugal, but still playing well. Very, very motivated. That moment down in the MLS's back tournament when he scored and ran around the field like you would have thought he was at Old Trafford in front of 70,000 people. You got to love it. Brendan Aaronson, Philadelphia Union, an American. Notice there's not many Americans in the playmaking role in Major League Soccer. It's pretty clear. He's a pretty rare animal. And, of course, Aronson's been linked to Europe. LA Galaxy, Christian Pavon, Argentina. Here's another wonderful player and was carrying that team by himself. He's finally got Chicharito back healthy. You got Diego Rossi and Brian Rodriguez, two Uruguayans in LA. And there's many, many more. So it's pretty amazing the level of talent that's now coming to this league. And you have players that can change a game in a moment's notice. The other thing is the early years of Major League Soccer. If you were loose with possession or mistakes were being made in your defending third of the field, unless they were pounced on by the one special player on the opponent's team, you basically could get away with things. And I notice now that in MLS, you can't get away with mistakes as much anymore. They get punished more regularly, like some of the bigger leagues in the world. So if you're loose in possession and you're not careful with the ball, and I would say even in your own half of the field, you will get punished. And that's just kind of the way it goes. Big thanks to Lustav Vermouth as well for being a sponsor of this show. Lustav Vermouth, well, you could do it over ice. It comes in three types. Comes in the Rojo with hints of caramel and cola. You can get the Rosé with a hint of vanilla or the White, which has a little bit more rosemary. The Rosé and White are great in gin and tonics. The Rojo is great in a Manhattan or a Negroni. Lustav Vermouth, you can ask for it at your local liquor store, but it's refreshing. Get a little Spain in your life. Lustav Vermouth is fun. You do it over ice. You do it over ice with tonic water or club soda. But my favorite is paired in a gin and tonic with an orange peel and a few drops of lime juice, and it is super refreshing. So it's Lustau, Lustau Vermouth. So we thank them very much. We also want to thank John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors here. On the Horn in Austin, John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle, drive an 18-wheeler, work in a refinery, do construction. They're going to be there for you. All you got to do is call John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm at 512-865-6710, or you can go to DaspitLawAustin.com. Get in there with the Daspit Law Firm, and they are supporters of soccer. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with Tom Marshall of ESPN FC, also of the Mexican Soccer Show. We'll continue the talk, and we're going to get through the list of the four-goal scorers in the Premier League. I'm going to give you three or four right now. Efan Okoku of Norwich City. Andy Cole of Manchester United. Some great names here. Robbie Fowler of Liverpool. Gianluca Vialli of Chelsea. And the last one before we hit break, Jurgen Klinsmann of Spurs. All right, break time on Soccer Matters here on the Horn.
Thiago's just...
Oh, Kepa has gifted a second goal to Sadio Mane. The nightmare continues for the world's most expensive goalkeeper, Mane the Predator. And Chelsea now are in a deep hole. Liverpool lead 2-0.
I'm not sure what I like more. Sadio Mane's goals or LCD sound system? Someone great. But that's... Sadio Mane, pair against Chelsea. I'm not too happy about this peacock right now, like a lot of people. But of course, we're going to end up having to pay for it if we want to watch the Premier League. So I don't think there's any question what's going to happen, because you're going to say, no, I'm not going to sign up for it. And then one or two weekends after not seeing some of the big games, you will sign up for it. And, you know, they didn't put Chelsea or Liverpool on the main channel. So you got Burnley. It's pretty easy to understand what's going on. All right, let's go to ESPN FC's Tom Marshall. He's also on the podcast, the Mexican Soccer Podcast. Does tremendous work. Mexican Soccer Show, excuse me. He's at Mexico World Cup on Twitter. Tom, thank you for calling in tonight from Mexico City. We're going around the world.
That's right, Glenn, yeah. How's it going?
But you know what? I don't feel guilty because I know you're up 24/7 anyway because you got a brand new baby.
Yeah. Yeah, no, just trying to kind of get some regular sleep right now. But I don't know. I guess the good thing about not being able to go to stadiums and actually cover games is, you know, with all the soccer leagues around the world back, it's like 24/7 there's games going on. So at least with the baby crying in the background, I can stick the games on.
Yeah, a lot of games. Hey, so let's start with this. You know, we've kind of talked about Major League Soccer and the way this league has really changed. It's turned into a buying and selling league. This is a very hot topic with a lot of the younger, talented players that are coming into the league from Mexico and Argentina. And we've cited Lucas El Arayan at Columbus, Pulido at Sporting Kansas City, Andreas Recuarte at FC Dallas from Colombia. Emmanuel Reynoso now comes from Argentina and Boca Juniors. And, of course, Austin has Cecilio Dominguez, who played at Club America. But, you know, give us some of your thoughts on Major League Soccer and how it's evolving, changing, and how that affects or provides opportunity for the Mexican player.
No, yeah, 100%. I think it's changed the nature of the way the league views the Mexican player. I mean, going back, you know, to the 90s, 2000s, I think it was just a case of, I don't know, it's kind of a basic kind of, I think that the GMs were just basically thinking, we've got a lot of Mexicans, we've got a lot of Mexican-Americans in our communities. If we buy a big-name Mexican player in, then we're going to get a lot of people in the stadiums, we're going to sell tickets, you know, the sponsors are going to come in. And I think it was just kind of, that was the mentality. And I think now, obviously that's still, it's not like that disappears. I mean, Chicharito at LA Galaxy, obviously, it's just a massive boost for the city. Carlos Vela as well at LAFC, you know, obviously good players, but they also bring kind of off the field, you know, the Mexican presence. But I don't know, I feel like now MLS teams just a lot smarter, just like looking more for players that they can basically bring in from not just Mexico, but all of Latin America, and, you know, bring them in, develop them, and then sell them off and make a profit as well. And I think that's the model that a lot of teams are obviously looking to do right now. I think Atlanta, you know, has to take a lot of credit for what they did with Miguel Almirón in that sense. And I think Mexico, obviously, you guys know how close the border is. It's just a no-brainer right now for MLS GMs to hire people to be scouting Liga MX because it's so close, the standard is so similar, there's so many similarities in terms of there's a lot of travel involved in Liga MX. It's a difficult league, kind of in terms of the geography, in terms of the different climates as well. And I just think there's a nice overlap that, to be honest, Glenn, the only thing I'm surprised about is taking so long for MLS clubs to focus a little bit more on the Mexican market.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think that's a watershed moment you pointed out with Miguel Almirón going to Newcastle, because that's the beauty of Atlanta coming in and raising the bar, as well as, you know, first it was Seattle and then it was Atlanta. It's interesting with Atlanta and Pity Martinez, though, after being the South American Player of the Year, getting sold. Would you judge his time in Major League Soccer a success or a difficult adaptation for him? What would you say?
No, I mean, I think it's, I don't think you could say it's a success. I mean, I think, you know, he came as, like, you know, South America's Player of the Year, and, you know, I don't think he lived up to that billing. I think that's fair to say. But I think the point with him is, you know, they've obviously sold him on now. I don't know the details of how much they actually sold him on or bought him for, but according to reports, they've not lost money on that. So they brought a player in who's got a really good reputation. You know, they've had him for a couple of years and they've sold him on. And, you know, from what I read, they've actually made a bit of a profit as well. So it's like, it's kind of like when you sign a player at that kind of age and you know they've got a sell-on value, it makes a lot more sense right now, I think. And I think GMs in MLS are, obviously, they're just smarter. They're getting smarter about it than buying a 33-year-old player who, you know, there's just absolutely no sell-on value for. And if it doesn't work out, then you kind of just stuck with him, which I think there's plenty of examples as well of that.
Yeah, and the mindset has changed too, because if you're in your 30s and you're trying to come to Major League Soccer, unless you're, you know, a freak of nature, and unless you look as though you have quite the shelf life left in you, you're not going to be able to command the money these younger guys are commanding, unless, you know, you're just like a, you know, like an Higuain who's going to go to Inter Miami now, you know, and a lot of that is because of David Beckham, but it's different. I think it's exciting. I think it's added to the quality of play. And I was mentioning before, you know, there was a time in MLS you could make mistakes at the back or be loose with your passing and give the ball up in bad areas, and you wouldn't get punished. Well, you get punished now.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's, I don't know. I mean, for me, it's always more exciting to watch a kind of younger player coming through than, you know, than players that you've already seen play. I mean, especially the way that this game is so global right now. I mean, you were mentioning there, you know, the Premier League. I mean, people in the United States, people in Mexico, if they want to and they're willing to pay for it, they've got access to those games now. So it's not like before where maybe you couldn't watch much soccer from Europe or anything. And so when a big star name came over to Europe, he was like, oh, I'm going to the stadium, I want to see him. I think fans are a lot smarter now as well. And I think they know that, oh, this guy's coming here right now because basically he's not in his prime anymore. So yeah, definitely, I think that's changed. And I think for the better. I mean, I think the league's a lot more exciting with younger players and players that are kind of developing. I mean, just a quick example. I mean, you know, obviously I cover, you know, mainly Mexican soccer. And for example, when I stick on LA Galaxy right now, I'm more excited about watching Efrain Alvarez, the 18-year-old forward, and even Julian Araujo, who we don't know if he's going to play for US or Mexico yet, than I am about seeing Jonathan Dos Santos and Chicharito. I mean, I know my situation's a bit different, but I mean that.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And the older guys.
I'm with you on that because you want to be able to, you know, it's wonderful to look at these young players and then like look out and say, okay, where do you think they could be? And you know, we all look at players and we'll get some right, we'll get some wrong. You'll look at a player that technically looks good. Can he ever develop the power and the strength to play in the league? And then the next thing you know, wow, the guy has, you know, so I'm with you on that. And I'm also interested though in the older guys as to their commitment to the league when they come, you know, a Chicharito, an Higuain at Inter Miami, what will that be like? But I'm with you 100%. We're talking to Tom Marshall of, well, he's ESPN FC, great writer, at Mexico World Cup on Twitter and the Mexican Soccer Show podcast. So the other night I'm doing a game on television and, you know, I look at one of the teams and they only have three Americans on the field, two or three. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, well, this is kind of the similar problem that now comes with all this great young talent. You know, we rarely have American playmakers in Major League Soccer. There may be one, Brendan Aaronson in Philadelphia. Opportunity in some cases, you know, maybe the you know, the needle is trending a little bit more towards the foreign player right now. There's no question that's where people are going to get their game changers. And then I'm saying, well, you know, we hear the same thing in Mexico with young Mexican talent. Is there enough opportunity? So take me through MLS. Do you think there's enough opportunity for the American player? And then more importantly, take me through Mexico. Are they getting shut out a little bit with opportunity based on a lot of the foreign signings in Liga MX?
Yeah, I mean, it's that old argument. Is it best to make the league as strong as possible so that when, you know, a homegrown talent, you know, be it the US, Mexico or Canada, when they do come through, then they're playing at a level that obviously is a lot higher. They get used to that higher level and then they can develop the game to a high degree in theory. Or is it better that they're getting those chances? I mean, I think there has to be a balance somewhere. I personally think it has to be a kind of a philosophy that the clubs bring on board, more than kind of what they do in Mexico, where they state that there has to be, you know, a certain amount of homegrown Mexican players per squad. I mean, I think it's nine now out of the 18-player squad. So half of the players, in each squad have to be Mexicans. So, but I also think the other big factor is the other leagues in terms of not just MLS and Liga MX, but what comes behind that. And I think that's where I think in North America we haven't been successful in terms of if a young player can't get a chance at, say, you know, Houston, you know, they just need more playing time. They're not ready for the first team. Then where else can they go to get quality minutes so that in 1 year's time they will be calling it for that spot? And I think that's where Europe is a long way ahead. You know, for example, in England, obviously you can go on loan to the Championship. You can go on loan to elsewhere in Europe, get that experience and come back. Whereas I think, you know, in Mexico, they're trying to make the second division now a lot more focused on younger Mexican talent and have that kind of as the kind of bedrock in a way, so that okay, Liga MX is going to be a high percentage of foreign players, but the second division is going to be there, and it's only been going on a few weeks. The new system in Mexico, the new Liga de Expansión, the expansion league without promotion and relegation, but the idea is that league, I think it's five foreigners maximum per squad. The idea is that league becomes kind of a feeder league to the first division, to Liga MX, and I mean, yeah, I think all over North America, though, I think that's been the problem, because it's only this really.
Okay,
really,
so let me take you back to that, because you just said something important. Okay, if they're going down to this league and they're competing amongst themselves, number one, you know, if they get to a level where they think they're ready to play in Liga MX for the first team, they still have to get the opportunity. The mindset still has to change of coaches who are dependent on winning and losing. In the U.S., the reserve teams are basically USL. I think some of the clubs have it set up in a great way where it's all contained in one environment, and you got your reserve team very close to the first team. There's all this organic crossing paths. People get to see, you know, the guys on the USL team or the so-called reserve team in the academy are crossing paths with pros, and the coaches have easy access to watch people. I mean, that's the trend that I hope to see. I'm interested to see where that's going to go with Austin FC, because they've got USL teams in the neighborhood, and the Austin Bold, you got San Antonio FC. What do? Do they come to an agreement with one of those teams? There's been political problems. Do they create their own USL team, which is an expense? Do you go the league below it, which is different? So I think you're hitting the nail on the head. The thing is, though, if these Mexican players get good enough to play on the first team, obviously they're not now because nobody's given them the opportunity, which drives me nuts in a way, because, I mean, the amount of good technical soccer players in Mexico, it's off the charts. I mean, I used to go down to Rayados when I was on the youth side of it, and yeah, it was just amazing the setup they had, and Efrain Flores had at Atlas. And, you know, you're looking at these little areas, and they're all specific to the age group. And, I mean, they are just killing it in teaching these kids technically where to be. So I don't know. It's quite the problem. I have a hard time believing that Mexican player development isn't good right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, though? I think one kind of positive in bad circumstances is the way the economies of a lot of clubs have been hit from, you know, the coronavirus pandemic, the Clausura season being cancelled. I mean, quite a few of the clubs are struggling in Mexico right now. And I think that's kind of, and I think we've seen this year and especially this season, I think we've seen more younger players being given a chance because, you know, teams haven't been able to go into that transfer market, go and splash money in South America or wherever they want to bring players from. And I think that, I don't know, I think I'm a bit more optimistic, Glenn, to be honest, in Mexico, that there are now a couple of clubs. I mean, I think Atlas, I think Pachuca have got a good philosophy. Even Club America are bringing through a few young players. Puma seem to have gone back to what they always were in terms of producing, you know, quality young players. And I think that's going to be the change. It's got to be a change that comes from within the clubs and a philosophy. You know, you're never going to get that at Tigres. I mean, Tigres, if you're in the Tigres under-20s team, and like you said, I mean, the quality of the Mexican under-20s league is really high. I mean, it's not for nothing that, you know, Mexico last year.
Yeah, but where are these guys going to play? If they're not getting an opportunity in Liga MX, where are they going to play? Hold on to that thought because we're on a break, Tom. Can you stay with us through a break?
Yeah, no problem.
We need you to stay because we got to talk Cecilio Dominguez when we come back. We got to talk Super Clásico. You have to answer that question. Where are these top Mexican young players going if they're not getting the opportunity in Liga MX? Where are they playing? That's what you're going to answer when we come back. Plus, we'll talk Cecilio Dominguez. I want to ask you a little bit about the Portuguese First Division and the league we love, Copa Libertadores. Let's see if we can get through all this stuff. All right, we'll take a break here. Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. We'll come back with more from Tom Marshall at Mexico World Cup on Twitter. And we are always thankful that this show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com. That is the place to go. If you need a personal injury attorney, you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, it's 512-865-6710. They're bilingual, DaspitLawAustin.com. We'll take a loose style break. Let's come back.
Manejando bien su pelota, viene Diego Suárez, trazo de acompañamiento, buena para Gio, le puede pegar Gio, le puede pegar de derecha, perdió un tiempo, el rebote lo tiene Córdoba, extensión, América insiste, vamos a ver aquí, toque de Richard, es muy bueno para Gio, Gio a su izquierda, tiro, ¡Golazo de Gio! La esperó, la prendió, hermoso, metió todo el empeine, la metió el ángulo, gol, AT&T, la pasión que te conecta. ¡Golazo de Gio!
Well, the song is by Hot Chocolate, Everyone's a Winner, but everyone was not a winner. Club America was 1-0 winners over Chivas in the Super Clásico. We're coming back here, John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLawAustin.com presents this show. You can call them at 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. They are the presenting sponsors of this show, DaspitLawAustin.com. So we got about 7 quick minutes here, Tom. So let's fly right into this. Where are the good Mexican players going, the young talent, if they're not getting the opportunity in Liga MX?
No, I mean, it's just they're going all over. I mean, they're staying in the under-20s league too long. They're dropping to the second division. They're being loaned out to kind of the lesser teams in Liga MX, but at the end of the day, there's not enough of them. The bottom line is there's not enough of them getting enough opportunity, enough first team games to be able to establish themselves. And I think that's a shame and something that I think the Mexican game has to work on for sure.
Fair enough. Tom Marshall joining us, ESPN FC. Let's get to the topic that Austin FC fans want to hear. I saw Cecilio Dominguez in the Libertadores this past week. He'll be in action again this Wednesday. You covered him at his time at Club America. Tell us about this player and what Austin FC fans can expect.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can be a special player. I think in terms of flair, in terms of excitement, you know, he's got it all. I mean, he's got something special, and so I think that side of it, there's no doubt about it. I think even since he was, you know, 20 years old, I think everybody in South America were aware that Cecilio Dominguez was a big talent. Well, the only thing I would say is though, Austin have to be sure, and you know, Claudio Reyna, I think, you know, he's on record saying it, that Cecilio Dominguez's head is in the right place. Because it seemed like when he was at Club America, he just wasn't kind of 100% focused. It didn't quite go as expected. There was plenty of flashes. There was plenty of, you know, the moments of magic from him, but there wasn't that consistency in the game that I think Club America fans wanted. And I think the same can be said his time with Independiente in Argentina. So he's played for two, you know, really big clubs with a lot of pressure on him. And I would say it didn't go great. However, I think there's another side to the story. And I think that Austin FC, I think they've done their own work, at least from what they're saying. And they believe that Cecilio, as a leader in the Austin FC team, as the, you know, the first designated player in the club's history, his head is going to be 100% right to play a leadership role and to make a difference. Because, you know, on the playing side, there's no doubt that this is a guy who can make a significant impact within Major League Soccer.
No question at all. He 13 goals when he was at Club America. No question. There is pressure that comes with the DP label. And, of course, we've had Josh Wolf, we've had Claudio Reyna on the show, and they've said, look, he checks out. He really wants to be here. He wants the responsibility of being here. He can play. Had some great moments in the Libertadores this past week, including scoring a goal and an assist. All right, real quick here on the Super Classico, Gio dos Santos getting the game winner in that one. Tell me about this, Tom, because it didn't seem to have the normal edge. Obviously, no fans were there. And then after the game, there was this moment here with the players, and they were laughing and giggling, and nobody liked that in Mexico, quite frankly.
No, really didn't. I mean, it's kind of weird because that's been the talking point and that's been the joke that nobody's actually talked about the game. You know, obviously Club America extended. They've not been defeated by Chivas now since February 2017, which is a long run in this series, which has historically been pretty even. America very much on top right now. But yeah, a lot of the talk about the game was about, you know, a few America players and Chivas players after the game, you know, swapping shirts and kind of laughing and kind of cameras caught them doing it. And I mean, the big thing from the Chivas perspective is that you just lost the biggest game in Mexico. You know, this is the biggest game of the season. You've just lost it. And you think it's okay to go and swap shirts with an America player. So it sparked just an absolutely massive debate between those who think it's, to be honest, like a complete disgrace, that what you're thinking, how could it even go through your head to swap jerseys with a guy from the opposition. And then other people saying, look, back in the 80s and the 90s, this is a game that regularly had fights, like literal like fights on the pitch and between the sets of players and you know, shaking someone's hand after going to talk to them. You know, that doesn't mean that they didn't put 100% in on the field. So that's been the big talking point for me. I just think it was a bad look. I think there's a time and place. And, you know, if you're a young Chivas fan and you're brought up, you know, with America as kind of the rival, the enemy, although I don't like that word, then, you know, you would be a bit disappointed that the players did that after the game. But yeah, it has been kind of the big talking point.
But, you know, sports, competition, there has to be a genuine dislike. Doesn't mean you can't be sportsman, but you got to have a genuine dislike sometimes because that brings out the best in competition. And, you know, it's just different. The modern athlete, I guess, is very, very different. Real quick one here. Matias Almeida in San Jose, really struggling, worst team in Major League Soccer. What do you think about it? What's the reaction in Mexico?
No, in Mexico, I think people are surprised because, you know, 6-1 loss, 7-1 loss in the last kind of week or so, it's just not expected. What I would say, I mean, obviously San Jose have got problems. I think he's got one of the weakest squads in the league as well. Although he said that he thinks he can work with the squad, so he's not necessarily been complaining for the last 2 years. The one thing I would say, and I think that, you know, Almeida's come out and said, look, it's not like I don't know what I'm doing. I've won 7 trophies. He won 5 trophies in Mexico. The one thing I would say is that if he leaves San Jose Earthquakes tomorrow, he's not going to be struggling for work. And every time there's a major job that comes up in Mexico, he'll be on the list. And,
no question.
I think that's the reality of the situation. You know, I know it sounds harsh, but I'd say that the Earthquakes need Almeida right now more than Almeida needs them. Although a lot of people probably wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah, but he's a guy that likes to finish a project. I mean, there's some integrity in him. Tom, listen, as always, we thank you so much for coming on the show. You can catch Tom on the Mexican Soccer Show podcast at Mexico World Cup on Twitter, ESPNFC. Boatload of knowledge here when it comes to league. Some great stuff from you tonight, Tom. So thank you, as always, for being such a great guest and so willing to give us your time.
No, thanks a lot, Glenn, for the invite, and very enjoyable. Hope all's well with you and everybody over there in Texas.
Everything's good. Get some sleep. We appreciate it. That's Tom Marshall. That's how we close the show tonight. A big thank you to BK back in studio producing. Also to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm. We appreciate them. And also, Lustau Vermouth. Until next Monday night at 7 o'clock, I'm Glenn Davis, Austin, Texas. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Podcast, you can find it at hornfm.com. Cecilio Dominguez coming to Austin FC.